where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
If anyone in my audience thinks the economy is doing just fine and that the labor market is still strong, let's see what you think after listening to this week's reality check. So far this year, companies have planned 604,514 job cuts, a 198% increase from the 209,495 job cut announcements through September of 2022. It is the highest January through September total since 2020, when 2 million cuts were recorded. Apart from that COVID year, this is the highest January to September total since 2009, when 1,100,036 job cuts were announced. The real story behind the labor market is one of persistent weakening. The October non-farm payroll report posted a net increase of just 150,000 net new jobs created. That figure was down from 297,000 for September. And one-third of all the new hiring came from the horrendously unproductive government sector. Meanwhile, the household survey showed there was actually a decline of 348,000 jobs in October, a net decline. Keep in mind the fact that the Labor Department has revised its initial guess of the number of jobs created to a lower figure every month this year. Their birth-death models are about as broken as the Fed's economic models. By the way, the average work week fell in this last report. In fact, the index of aggregate hours worked has fallen since the start of 2023. This means if you take the total number of people that are employed and multiply the figure by the average number of hours that they work during the week, it was lower in October than it was in January. And the unemployment rate ticked up to 3.9% from 3.4% earlier this year. We have never had a 0.5% increase in the unemployment rate outside of the start of a recession. Think about what I just said, those facts, the next time you hear how wonderful the consumer's doing thanks to Bidenomics. The true fragility of this labor market can be clearly seen by the problems with payroll companies. Payroll service providers have seen their share prices tumble this year on the prospect of a much weaker hiring scenario to come. Paycom reported earnings on November 1st for the third quarter of the company's reporting season. Share prices dropped 38.5% on weaker sales and lowered guidance. The shares are down 48% year to date. Paycor HCM, their company stock price has given up 25% of its value year to date. Paylocity shares have also retreated by the same 25%. The outlier in this space can be found in ADP, Automatic Data Processing. But while this company has done better than the rest, it still has seen its shares drop by 8% so far this year. The labor market and economy have finally started to falter, just as major government forbearance and stimulus measures are ending. The COVID-19 forbearance programs for FHA's single-family insured mortgages and home equity conversion mortgages, those are called reverse mortgages, will end on November 30th, 2023. These people have not made a mortgage payment since early 2020. 17% of all mortgages are FHA insured. Student loan payments have resumed, at least to some degree, September 1st. And the Employee Retention Credit Program, which gave eligible business owners a tax credit of up to $28,000 per employee, expired on September 14th, when the IRS ceased processing applications on that date. More of this economic weakness can be found in the company called WeWork, the multi-billion-dollar company that specialized in shared office spaces. The firm filed for bankruptcy this week. The commercial real estate giant had 44 million square feet of office space spread out over 779 locations worldwide. The collapse of this company not only reflects the erosion of the labor market and the economy overall, but is another nail in the coffin of the commercial real estate sector. The main issue here is the continuing drag on the economy that comes along with the inevitable refinancing of debt at much higher interest rates, along with the Fed's inexorable draining of liquidity. Those rates and their effect on asset bubbles and a massive amount of debt are very pernicious to the stock market and the economy. The Fed's quantitative tightening program has already drained $1 trillion from the base money supply, and the Fed's tightening measures have really put a lot of pressure on businesses. So far this year, 516 publicly listed firms have filed for bankruptcy. Many of these companies were so-called zombie firms. They had been surviving by issuing new debt to pay back existing creditors. The game is now over, and the number of bankruptcies are rising rapidly. Corporate bankruptcies in the U.S. rose by 30% over the past 12 months, according to statistics published by the U.S. court system, as reported by Reuters. That cannot be good news for the labor market. As my friend Chris Whalen of Whalen Global Advisors points out, the U.S. banking industry is deeply insolvent, a fact that will negatively impact earnings for years to come. 54% of all U.S. mortgages have a rate between 2.5% and 4%. This rate is below banks' funding costs, with the T-bill rate remaining above 5%, meaning the bank's business model is upside down. The financial industry owns these mortgage-backed securities and bank loans that are trading at 70 cents on the dollar. Most importantly, while these assets are currently down 30%, which is a disaster, this is before the recession arrives. Just imagine how distressed these assets will become once mortgage defaults rise due to spiking unemployment rates, which cause home values to tumble. Of course, the situation with commercial mortgage-backed securities is much worse. Here, we not only have the same unfavorable interest rate dynamics, but also the high vacancy rates, which have already spiked due to the work and shop from home phenomenon, but now will surge once the economic downturn arrives in full force. But what about the onshoring manufacturing renaissance in the U.S., you might ask? Well, the ISM manufacturing number fell for the 11th month in a row. Manufacturing in the U.S. not only contracted in October, the 46.7 figure shows that manufacturing is contracting at a faster rate. Finally, one of the world's biggest shipping firms, Maersk, is cutting 3,500 more jobs due to lower freight rates and demand. The shipping giant had already cut 6,500 employees earlier this year, but now says that more cuts are needed. The firm said profits had plunged by 92% in its most recent quarterly results due to worsening prices for shipping by sea, which required further headcount reductions. Quote, our industry is facing a new normal with subdued demand and inflationary pressure on our cost base, close quote, said Maersk's chief executive, Vincent Clerc. That is the truth. The labor market and economy are finally starting to crack. If you are wondering what all the recession obsession is about, it is because the S&P 500 has historically dropped between 14% and 57% during all such economic contractions since 1937. And according to the official statistics, we are not in a recession yet. So we have between 14 and 57% to give up on the S&P 500. But given the fact that the stock market is now trading at a valuation that is greater than any other time in history prior to 2020, that plunge from the start of the recession should be closer to the 57% figure than the 14% figure. Pento Portfolio Strategies is preparing to move our massive holdings of 5% yielding T-bills out along the yield curve to capitalize on the principal appreciation offered by duration during bond bull markets. Physical gold should catch a strong bid soon, as economic growth has now clearly topped out. But AU will get whipped around by the direction of the war in Gaza and Israel. So if you're not worried about short-term gyrations, now is the time to accumulate a nice position, I would say between 5 and 7% in physical gold. I didn't say miners, I said physical gold. As you could see by this latest rally, the timing ability of this model, the IDEC model that I created, inflation, deflation, economic cycle model, is critical to avoid making big mistakes in the portfolio, such as getting short too early. But we do remain on high alert for the appropriate time to take on a net short position. We still have not seen our financial conditions index tighten enough to pull the trigger. But given that the economy is now on thin ice, clearly the time to get net short on an actively traded basis is around the corner.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com. or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.